Bahama, Messiah, all praise Him. Praise His holy name, and He gives us free birth control and free health insurance because He is the Messiah.
Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company.
Either you are wrong or I am right.
And we all know, what is the third possibility? Third possibility is that you are wrong and I am right. Boom! Yes, that was me dropping the microphone. Not on the floor, just dropping the microphone stand. That's how I roll, and I am the Great One himself, and this is Stating the Obvious, the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfuckers all around the world. And I need to back off the microphone. Thank you. Thank you, Randy, for pointing out. I need to back the fuck off the microphone. If I don't back off the microphone, she'll shoot me with the M60 machine gun. Greeting, my friends. I have not recorded in a while because I've been busy as fuck. I'm going to knock this out today because yet again I'm up against a deadline. I have to take a book back to the library, and this is a book that I want to talk about. We are gathered here today to make fun of Harlan Ellison. I've talked about Harlan Ellison before and the respect I have for Harlan for being an asshole and being somebody who speaks his mind, kind of like somebody else we know, and also for being such a fantastic writer and somebody who's so incredibly skilled with words. We're going to read some passages from Edgeworks by Harlan Ellison. It's a collection of his writings. And up until, it started off with some short stories, which are of course great, because Harlan Ellison is a fantastic writer of short stories. The second half of the book is op-ed columns written by Harlan Ellison. And I had not realized just how fucking stupid he is until I read these. Now, I want to make a couple of things clear. These op-ed columns were written back in the Reagan era. Ronald Reagan is president at the time. I don't know exactly what year these were written, and it's not that important. Oh, well, like this one was, so the May of 1982, that's kind of in the middle. So it's in the early 80s that he's writing all of this. And let me point out that it's perfectly possible Harlan Ellison's views have changed since 1982. Because intelligent people, and we've talked about this before on Stating the Obvious, intelligent people don't say things like, I've been a Democrat all my life, because, as I've said before, when you say to me, I've been a Democrat all my life, you're telling me that you have the same worldview you had when you were 8 years old. And that's not good. Right? If you still view the world the same way you did when you were a fucking 8-year-old kid, that's not good, and that's why you should shut the fuck up, and that's why democracy doesn't work. So it's perfectly possible that Harlan Ellison is not this stupid anymore. I don't know, because I haven't read any recent opinions of his. So today I want to make it clear that we are going to be, by we I mean I, there's no royal we here, there is a we. Over in the control room on the other side of the glass is the lovely and adorable Randy. This is Stating the Obvious podcast, brought to you by the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com. On the interwebs, you can send us an email at God, that's dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. Hit us up on the Twitterverse, on the Book of Faces, on the Plus of the Google. and also on the Tube of Yous. And give me bitcoins, you selfish bastards. Shit, Randy, is it really that late already? God damn it, I spent a lot of time today fucking with the computer. The computer was having problems. I am going to be talking about the Harlan Ellison who existed in the year 1982 and in that time frame. So it's completely possible that his views have changed, but the point is, when he wrote these op-ed pieces, he was a fucking idiot. He was just fucking stupider than shit. I also learned something I didn't know. Harlan Ellison is a Jew. And I bring that up because he plays the fucking Jew card. If I would have thought about it, I didn't think about it till I was finished reading the book. Had I been smart, I would have kept a count of every time he plays the Jew card. Let me say this again, just to be sure I piss off the Jews, because, you know, you're anti-Semitic. I love when people, you're anti-Semitic. No, I don't fucking hate Jews. I hate everyone. Will you please stop thinking whether you're a Jew or a black person or a homosexual or a brown person or a yellow person or a woman or a whatever the fuck you are, however you fucking classify yourself. Will you please stop thinking that you're in some group of people that are so fucking special? Oh, you're special, all right. That you're so fucking special that I hate you more than I hate other statists. There's only two kind of people on this planet. There are statists and there are anarcho-capitalists. If you're a statist, I fucking hate you. You don't get some kind of special fucking hatred because you're a Jew, okay? You're not somehow better than all the other statists and therefore get some more elite form of hatred because you're a Jew statist, all right? You're a fucking statist. End of discussion. I am not anti-Semitic. I am anti-statist. Harlan Ellison is a Jew. I didn't know this. But he makes it really obvious because he plays the Jew card at every fucking opportunity. I want to make this one episode. I want to get through this because Randy and I both have shit to do. Let me get started. He wrote this on 2nd of July, 1981. Quote, as I was saying, knife kill flicks, the subject of a new book titled Splatter Movies. You like that a lot. Splatter movies. Cute. Though there are exceptions the apologist will always cite, the bulk of violence, total, psychopathic, sudden, and seemingly the only reason for making these films, is directed against women. Oh sure, there are a few men who get whacked in these films, the merest wet work, but their deaths are usually a sort of pro forma, almost as if they were reluctantly added to the script against the advent of just such criticisms as these. So the righteous director, who is usually egomaniacally but inaccurately logged on as the co-scripter, and the producer can justify slaughter by saying, quote, well, hell, didn't you see the guys who got snuffed? How can you say we hate women? Unquote. But that's misdirection, afterthought. It's like George Wallace talking about states' rights when what he really means is, let's keep the niggers in chains. It's on the moral and ethical level of those who excuse Nixon's criminal acts by saying, quote, hell, everybody does it, unquote. Let's pause here for some commentary. First of all, as I said, Harlan Ellison has a fantastic command of the English language. Let us give him his respect, as is due. Harlan whines a lot about splatter movies and the fact that they're popular and the fact that people go to see them. Keeping in mind, of course, that Harlan also loves democracy, and of course the people who go see splatter movies, or what's he, yeah, splatter movies, are also the same people who vote. This is the huge problem I have. I have a lot of huge problems. I have something else that's huge also. Ask your girlfriend. All these people out there like Harlan Ellison who believe that the common people are stupid and the common people are base and the common people are inferior because they're entertained by splatter movies where girls get killed and knifed and cut up into little pieces. I agree that you common people out there are morons. Yet, elitists like Harlan Ellison, and he admits to being an elitist, I talked about that in a previous podcast where I talked about some of Ellison's writing, he very freely and happily admits he is an elitist. Elitists, however, continue to believe in democracy. They continue to think that these same people who are so stupid and base and common should be allowed to vote. You know, and all of this writing is just littered with his punches at Republicans, which is fine to punch at Republicans. I don't have any love affair with Republicans, but it's just pathetic. For example, George Wallace keeping the niggers in chains. Let me take a moment to remind all of you who don't know anything about history, it was the Democrats who wanted to keep slavery legal. It was the Democrats who were opposed to your savior, Abraham Lincoln. It was the Democrats who are responsible for most of the Jim Crow laws. And of course, the hell everybody does it excuse. I mean, there is nothing more overused in our modern society. The other day, I'm talking to some people, and they're talking about the corporations tracking your internet activity and your cell phone, and it's the same old thing. You always say, well, I have nothing to hide, so I have nothing to fear, and besides, everybody does it. There it is, right? If we're going to get rid of the everybody does it excuse, if we're not going to use that as a society anymore to justify things, we're screwed, because this is the biggest justification we use in this, other than, well, it's the law, right? You ask somebody why anything is anything the way it has to be, and people will either say, well, because that's the law, or it's corollary, because that's illegal, or they'll say, well, everybody does it. Get back to reading Harlan Ellison. It's a train coming. Can you guys hear that? The trains have to blow their horns to make fucking sure we know they're coming through. All right. No, what we're dealing with is nifty little films like Brian De Palma's Dressed to Kill, and Blowout is a concerted attack on females. Females burned alive, hacked to ribbons, staked out and suffocated slowly, their limbs taken off with axes, chainsaws, guillotines, threshing machines, the parts nailed up for display. The deification of the madness Jack the Ripper visited on pathetic tarts in Spital's Fields in 1888. Oddly enough, Ellison, like all other shit for brains, has no problem with women not being able to defend themselves from psychos. He has no problem with holding firearms from women, which would allow themselves to defend themselves. He has no problem with women going into the military to be killed. He has no problem with men as a whole being killed, cut up, raped in prisons, sent to war, all this other stuff. And here's why Harlan Ellison is so obsessed with splatter movies and their treatment of women. Because as I'm reading all of this and wondering, why is Ellison sucking up to the femistatist so severely? And it all becomes clear in this next passage. We continue reading Harlan Ellison's words. As a man who hit a woman once early in his life and swore never to do it again, I reel back from these films where hatred and brutalization of women is the uncontrolled engine, the governing force of plot. I'll admit it, I cannot watch these films. I get physically ill. And here we learn what we need to about Ellison, like an ex-smoker who can't shut up about smoking. Like an alcoholic who doesn't drink anymore because he went to AA and can't stop lecturing you. Harlan Ellison, only once, he claims, beat a woman and now he just can't stomach it. Right. He hit a woman once. I suspect Harlan Ellison to have this level of guilt hit a woman a lot more than once. Because you don't get this kind of guilt from hitting a woman one time. I also want to point out, I mean, listen to this. I reel back from these films where hatred and brutalization of women is the uncontrolled engine, the governing force of plot. The language. I mean, most people would just write, I hate movies where women get hit, or something. I reel back from these films where hatred and brutalization of women is the uncontrolled engine. Uncontrolled engine. What a beautiful phrase. The governing force of the plot. I mean, his writing skills are beautiful. It's a shame he's so fucking stupid. Quote, to continue reading Ellison's writing, but they must be drawing an audience. More and more get made each season. Saturation advertising on television pulls you to them. They make money, and money begets money, and the beginning sends even greater numbers of minimally talented filmmakers to the form. They proliferate and the sickness spreads. He wrote in here a really good critique and commentary of the film Outland, which was a pretty terrible movie, and Harlan Ellison's criticisms of that movie are all right on. We're skipping off of that now, going forward, moving forward in time. I found it interesting that Harlan Ellison reprints in here letters that were written to the magazines in which his op-eds were posted, including letters which are criticisms of him and his opinions. And as I was reading this, there were two letters to the editor defending Harlan Ellison from, of all people, J. Michael Stravinsky. And I thought to myself, why is Stravinsky embarrassing himself by defending Harlan Ellison's stupidity? Because that was a little disappointing, J. Michael Stravinsky, of course, being the person who wrote Babylon 5, one of the greatest television series ever created. Somebody wrote in, and this has nothing to do with Harlan Ellison, other than he printed it in this. So apparently, back in the day, September of 82 is when this op-ed was written, there was a magazine advertisement for Casablanca Fan Company. Hold on, I'm dropping things. The Casablanca Fan Company did ceiling fans. And they had a magazine advertisement that showed a man who looks like Humphrey Bogart sitting at the bar wearing his white suit and his bow tie, and he's got a drink in front of him. And behind him, looking over his shoulder, is a black man in a suit. And above it is the quote, which is, we can infer, being said by the Humphrey Bogart character. And it says, you know a dame will let you down every time, but a Casablanca fan will always hang true. Some woman, imagine that, a feminist, some femistatist who wrote into Harlan Ellison multiple times throughout the time he was writing his column, wrote in talking about her state of enragement upon seeing this advertisement and how it was sexist, racist, and stupid. And I'm not even going to read her letter to Harlan, but what's interesting, so first of all, Harlan Ellison wrote back to her and wrote back in this his column and told her that basically she was overreacting and maybe she should calm the fuck down, which was impressive for Harlan Ellison considering that he has the huge levels of guilt he has about beating women for him to actually stand up to a woman. But here's what's interesting about this is the Casablanca fan company's response to this dumb bitch. Let me read the letter they wrote back to her after she wrote her letter telling them that they were racist, sexist, and stupid. Dear Miss Gutenmein, in response to your June 2nd, 1982 letter in regards to our advertising program as it appeared in California Magazine, I want to assure you that your letter has been read by all the officers of the Casablanca Fan Company and its advertising agency. At least 30 other writers complained similarly, and we regret this ad offended so many. We extend to you our most sincere apologies. So out of the entire population of the United States, they offended 30 people. Oh my God, the fucking snowflakes. And here, some of you thought snowflakes did not exist prior to Tumblr and the internet. This is just pure evidence that snowflakes have always been with us. Randy, how are we on time? Thank you. I continue reading. Our 1982 brand awareness advertising campaign uses actor Robert Sacy, star of Andrew Finiday's film The Man with Bogart's Face, to recreate three famous scenes from the film Casablanca. The Rick and Sam ad was based on a particularly sad but memorable scene from that film. In recreating this classic scene, we try to lighten it with a blatant exaggeration of Rick's remorse. We believed that we had positioned the statement so absurdly that no one could take it seriously. We know that we failed badly in this regard. Exactly, because you see, you have to understand that no matter how you try to lighten things with blatant exaggeration and to position yourself so absurdly that no one could take it seriously, there will always be snowflakes who take things seriously. The snowflakes will always exist, and you cannot be sensitive enough to the little sissy fuckers in order to avoid offending them. And the idea that you can create an advertising campaign and put it in California Magazine and that you are going to be successful in not offending anybody is just naive. And of course, finally, there's the fact that if you're not offending anybody, you're not doing anything. Said it before, I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say more about it in the future. People who say, well, if you want to change the world, you have to start with yourself. Wrong. I have concluded that is wrong. That is absolutely wrong. If you want to change the world, you have to start by offending people. Gandhi offended people. Martin Luther King offended people. Malcolm X offended people. Joan of Arc offended people. Christopher Columbus offended people. Galileo offended people. Tesla offended people. If you want to change the fucking world, number one, you have to be willing to offend people. And this is why we, the nation, state, the legal fiction known as the United States, why we are stuck not only in a point of stasis, but at a point of decay. Because you're not allowed to offend anybody anymore. And until people can deal with being offended, it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. I continue reading. Our product does have considerable technical merits that make it worthwhile. I love they get that little plug in there. That's pretty amazing. However, we choose a brand awareness campaign aimed at getting maximum impact. It worked. Unfortunately, if 30 people took the time to write to us, then perhaps thousands protested by simply refusing to buy our product. That's not the reaction we had in mind at the outset of this campaign. Campaign. There is no D in the word campaign. As you might suspect, more than 80% of Casablanca's retail sales involve a purchasing decision made by a woman. Well, that's interesting because I thought women were oppressed. So if women were oppressed, how could they be involved in the purchasing decision 80% of the time? So women, hold it, I'm really confused. Women are oppressed. They get free birth control. They don't have to register for the Selective Service. They can get an abortion if they want to. They don't have to go into combat if they're in the military. They can dress like whores in the workplace even when men are required to wear a three-piece suit and a tie. And they're involved in 80% of purchasing decisions involving Casablanca fans. Oh yeah, and one woman who is convicted of a crime goes to prison for every 13 black men who are convicted of a crime. But women are oppressed. Obviously, I'm just not smart enough to understand it. Maybe it's because I have a ball sack. Maybe I'm just not as smart as a woman. Maybe that's why I can't understand how women can be involved in 80% of the purchasing decisions by a Casablanca fan and yet still be oppressed. I continue reading. To set out intentionally to offend these buyers is a poor way to run a business, at best. We regard ourselves as a progressive company, and women fill key roles in sales and middle management in the firm. There is no question that we momentarily lost our sensitivities with regards to women's issues. Thank you for taking the time to write to us. I can assure you that the advertisement will never be seen again in future publications. Sincerely, Edward F. Hart. Yes, a woman can write a letter to a corporation and have that corporation censor its own advertising. And women, they're so oppressed. Oh my goodness, just so oppressed. Let's get back to making fun of Harlan Ellison. Let's get back to me coughing and dying after taking a drink of water. 25 October 1982. At least Ellison understands that when you write the date, It doesn't go month, day, year. It goes day, month, year. Okay. Every 2 minutes, a handgun is manufactured in America. Every 13 minutes, the cops take a gun away from someone in America. Every 20 minutes, someone is killed by a handgun in America. During the time of the Vietnam War, more Americans were killed by handguns in America than died in the war. Every year, 350,000 people are injured by handguns in America. So stop all this bullshit about guns in the hands of criminals. Enough lies already. Enough of those sleazy and uncredited posters showing Nazis machine gunning people down and then shoveling them into mass graves under the legend, gun registration equals mass extermination, or first register their guns, then register their Jews. I agree with Ellison. I'm tired of hearing about the Jews being killed by the Nazis also. I'm tired of people playing the Jew card. Just as black people are so eager to become slaves again by becoming owned and controlled by the government, becoming dependent upon the government, so too are the Jews so eager to be exterminated. Isn't it interesting how Jews in America are trying so hard to get rid of guns? While Israel, the home of the Jews, you don't see any fucking gun control in Israel, do you? Just stop and think about that for a minute while Ellison is playing the Jew card. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry, but I'm pretty fucking sure that the Jews who were killed by the Nazis were killed by the Nazis because the Nazis had guns and the Jews didn't. Now, there's other reasons, too. Like, you know, the Jews sat there and thought, well, I have nothing to hide, so I have nothing to fear. We found out how that worked out, didn't it? Worked out really well for you, didn't it there, Jews? These statistics. Now, I don't know where Harlan Ellison gets these fake statistics from. Let's just look at this one, because this is the one. I use this thing called Google. And if it's on Google, you know it must be true. What did I type into Google? Typed in gun injury statistics US by year. And I took two of the first links that come up. Here, this one is from, who the hell did this? Oh, sorry. This is from the National Center for Injury Prevention and Control, CDC, 2010, last updated. So Harlan Ellison's writing this in 1982. According to Harlan Ellison, 350,000 people are injured by handguns a year in America. Well, that's interesting. According to the Center for Disease Control, which is the government, the state, they must be right. And this was updated in 2010. In 2010, the President of the United States was his Lord and Savior, Hussein Obama. If you disagree with these statistics, you hate black people. According to the CDC, in 1982, I'm trying to look at this and get, I gotta line this up and get the right fucking number. And I can't really tell because it's a CDC graph. You can't really tell what the fuck is going on. The number of people killed in 1982, not killed, injured. Wait, hold it. See, that's silence, because I'm doing something. It's called thinking. I completely misread this. I thought it is... No, I have the wrong fucking chart. I'm looking at the wrong fucking chart. Damn it! They don't... This thing does not have... the number for 1982 of injuries. It does, however, have injuries from 2000 to 2007. They peak at approximately 65,000. Here is another set of statistics, non-fatal gun injuries in the United States. Again, this only goes from 2001 to 2012, and of course, again, I didn't do deep research. These are only the first results in Google, which means they must be true. They peak out 2012 under his Lord and Savior, Hussein Obama, at 81,000. Is it really likely that in 1982, when there were, of course, fewer people and fewer guns, is it really likely that 350,000 people a year are being injured by handguns? Harlan Ellison, in addition to utilizing bullshit statistics, also commits the typical error that people use by not crediting where these statistics he's presenting come from. You ever notice how people, including me, I've just freely admitted, these are the first things that came up on Google. And I'm not citing any of them as true. In fact, both of them come from what I consider bullshit sources. He's got these statistics with no source. I'm not buying 350,000 people a year getting injured. Every 20 minutes, someone is killed by a handgun in America. What the fuck does that mean? Whenever somebody... I've talked about this before in any of my lying with statistics rants. Whenever somebody gives you statistics in bullshit format, you know they're trying to lie to you. This every 20 minutes someone is killed by a handgun. Okay, let's do some math. 365 days in a year. 24 hours in a day. So that gives us 8,760 hours. 60 minutes in an hour, that gives us 525,600 hours in a year, or minutes rather, excuse me, minutes. Let's divide that by 20. So that means that in Harlan Ellison's fantasy world, 26,280 people are killed by handguns. Let's come back over to these CDC thingy here. And, okay, that's in the range. 1982, according to CDC in that area. Oh, Harlan Ellison actually, according to CDC, lowballed it. CDC prediction comes in at 30 to 35,000 people killed in 1982 by handguns. Mr. Ellison, in all of his greatness, lowballed the number. Why? Because he's trying to be dramatic with his presentation of every 20 minutes someone is killed. And the accuracy of his statistics is irrelevant, or the inaccuracy. Again, it all comes down to property rights. Either you own your body or you don't. If you own your body, then your body can have a gun. People, well, what about the people you can kill? Okay, the people who are killing other people with guns are violating the non-aggression principle and violating the other people's property rights. And as I said before, why is it people who kill other people with guns are still alive? Because the state protects them. Because the state has a vested interest in there being more criminals. I just talked about this ad length, ad nauseum. Not going to go into it. We're supposed to be making fun of Harlan Ellison. Let's get back to that. So Harlan Ellison, the Jew, who can't shut up about playing the Jew card, denies that Nazis used guns to kill Jews who didn't have guns to defend themselves. And of course, Harlan Ellison, who's playing the Jew card, is at odds with the state of Israel, which has shit tons of guns. But it's okay. Harlan Ellison is a rich white man living in California. As the social justice warriors would say, perhaps Harlan Ellison should check his privilege. Let me go back to reading. Enough of those duplicitous TV commercials with the little old lady cowering in her bed as an intruder turns the knob of her bedroom door and the police dispatcher she's got on the phone tells her they can't come to her aid because all the cops are out registering handguns. Enough already. Right. She should be, it's not, the cops aren't out busy because they're registering handguns. The cops are busy because they're writing tickets and they're checking people for seat belts and they're setting up sobriety checkpoints and they're doing all these unnecessary things. And because, yeah, if this woman had a gun to defend herself, she wouldn't need to call the cops. And if she didn't need to call the cops would have no reason to exist. And if the cops had no reason to exist, they'd have to go get real jobs. And they wouldn't have jobs where they could kill people and get away with it. Oh, and I love this one. Every 13 minutes, the cops take a gun away from someone in America. So basically, he's admitting that every 13 minutes, the cops are violating somebody's property rights. Well, yes, we knew that. Been trying to tell you that. Every 2 minutes, a handgun is manufactured in America. Okay, so then do you really think you're going to be able to control all those handguns? Every 2 minutes, another gun is manufactured. Let's pass more laws to control them. Just the sheer stupidity that Harlan Ellison exhibits is beyond words. It isn't guns. And here we get to, again, Harlan Ellison does not have a problem saying that he's better than you, that he's smarter than you, that he is superior to you, and that you should not be allowed to defend yourself. Here we go. It isn't the guns in the hands of thugs we're talking about, though guys like Lawler and Bedfall and their mentors at the National Rifle Association and their mentors at the arms manufacturers have skewed the question so everyone talks about guns in the hands of the criminals. What we're talking about are the 80% of all deaths every year that are caused by snubbies in the hands of people as ordinary as Bedfall and Lawler. The ordinary citizens, you and me, we're the ones who have to be protected from ourselves, not from the thugs. And there it is. This is the left-wing statist worldview. Actually, it's the right-wing statist worldview as well. They just manifest differently. Both the left-wing statist and the right-wing statist believe that people have to be protected from themselves. Let me read this sentence to you again. This is critical to understanding statism. We're the ones who have to be protected from ourselves, not from the thugs. Harlan Ellison explicitly makes the argument that you don't need to be protected from the criminals. You need to be protected from yourself. Because you see, you're so fucking stupid that you have to be protected from yourself so that you can keep voting, because this is a democracy. Now, I agree with Ellison that many people are stupid. Where we differ, where the anarcho-capitalist differs from the statist, is that the anarcho-capitalist does not believe people should be protected from themselves. This is exactly what I'm talking about when I say the state circumvents natural selection. If you're so stupid that you're going to shoot yourself or one of your friends with a gun because you don't know how to handle a gun, you should do that. You should shoot yourself and get your DNA out of the gene pool. If your friends are dumb enough to be friends with you, somebody who doesn't know how to safely operate a gun, then your friends should be shot and killed, and their DNA should be gotten out of the gene pool. When I was in the military, we walked around with loaded weapons. Not every day, but we went out, we did live fire exercises. We had bullets locked and loaded. We fired bullets downrange around other people. Nobody ever shot anybody. It's not that hard. I may or may not have loaded weapons right here in this room. I may or may not have loaded weapons in my home. I may or may not have driven across the United States of America with loaded weapons in my vehicle. I may or may not have walked down the street with a loaded weapon in my possession, have never shot anyone. This mystique that left-wing statists have formed around weapons, that somehow or another you can have this weapon and it can just go off, just magically. It can fire at some time and shoot people. I've talked about this before. For a weapon, for a handgun, a rifle, to shoot another person, three things have to happen. You have to turn the safety off, you have to point it at another person, and you have to pull the trigger. I don't care what you saw on television about how guns just magically go off without anybody pulling the trigger. That does not happen in reality. And people who are so fucking stupid that they accidentally shoot themselves or others, these are people who should be eliminated from the gene pool. This is natural selection. But Harlan Ellison wants the state to protect people from themselves. Because Harlan Ellison thinks the stupid people should be kept alive. Because, of course, the stupid people benefit the state. Remember, if the stupid people were eliminated from the population, only the smart people would be left. Smart people don't need Obamacare. Smart people don't need the government. Ah, shit. Thank you, Randy. Smart people don't need the state to tell them how to fucking live. And of course, the right-wing statists think the same thing. They believe that religion should protect you from yourself. Because my God, without religion, you would want to have sex with people. And sex is evil. Sex is to the right-wing statist like guns are to the left-wing statist. You have to be protected from yourself. You have to save yourself until marriage. Otherwise, my God, you'll have sex and you'll experience pleasure. And we can't have that. So thank goodness God is here to protect you from yourself. Harlan Ellison wrote another piece. We're running very short on time, and I am wrapping this up. Harlan Ellison wrote another piece in which he discovered that magazines value their advertisers more than their subscribers. I thought this was fucking hilarious. Harlan was talking about how magazines put the mailing label on the front cover, and in doing so, ruined the photography on the front cover. And his thing was, why can't they put the mailing label on the back cover and thus not fuck up the front cover? And after some investigation, he discovered that the reason they don't do that is because the back cover has an advertisement on it, and the advertisers don't want their advertisement to be ruined. And so Harlan Ellison thus becomes all indignant that the magazines value the advertisers more than the subscribers, which is kind of like discovering that water is wet. Again, you've got Harlan Ellison, who in writing this is not wrong. He's not wrong about what he says in this op-ed piece. He is not wrong. He's right. I completely agree with him. But the fact that he's discovered this for the first time in his life, that the magazines value the advertising dollars more than they value the subscribers. Really? No shit, Harlan. You're this fucking disconnected from the planet Earth, yet you're writing long-winded rants about how common people shouldn't be allowed to have guns because you think you're really fucking smart. You're not. Then he writes another thing about video games, where he predicts that... Hold on. Quote, let me see this. Quote, all over America, landlords who only a few years ago were forcing mom-and-pop grocery stores and boutiques out of their locations so the shops could be converted into video game arcades are finding they have echoing emptiness to show for the sudden drop in clientele. As quickly as it dominated the scene, the video game craze has receded. Unquote. Yes, Harlan Ellison wrote an entire column about how video games are not going to last. Again, this is why, I've talked about this in the past, this is why it's important to read things people have written in the past. This is why I have on the website a page where I post all of my predictions for people to see. Are my predictions right or are they wrong? If most of somebody's predictions are wrong, like Paul Ehrlich, talked about him over and over and over, as he has predicted mass starvation in the United States, he has always been wrong. All of his predictions, as I read one of his books, I talked about it extensively in an episode, he did make one prediction that was right. He predicted in 10 years very accurately what the population of the United States would be. He also predicted we would be starving to death in the streets. He was wrong about every prediction except his predicted population in the United States. Again, Harlan Ellison predicting in this op-ed piece that video games are a craze and they're going to disappear and nobody gives a shit about video games. Right, video games. They're never going to catch on. This is a Jew who thinks the Jews were not killed by Germans with guns. This is a Jew who doesn't understand that Israel has guns all over the fucking place. And this is a Jew who believes that video games are just never going to catch on and be popular. Harlan Ellison is a great writer. Fantastic command of the English language. In 1982, at least, he was clearly a fucking moron. We're out. This will be going out on Friday. Today is Wednesday. Randy and I have a lot of shit to do. Catch you guys on the rebound.